Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Jacqueline Revere, a caregiver influencer, and we will be discussing her journey as a caregiver and a content creator at Mom of My Mom. Janice, in the recent Alzheimer's Association Facts and Figures report, it was noted that over 11 million Americans provide unpaid care for people living with dementia. And that totals out to 18 billion hours of unpaid care. Surprisingly, or I guess I should say, I found it surprising, according to AARP, actually one in four caregivers is a millennial. Even with these significant numbers, it can feel like you are the only person experiencing this. However, when we look towards social media platforms on Instagram, hashtag dementia has over a million posts, and on TikTok, videos with hashtag dementia have over 4 billion views. We've even seen some celebrities use their influence to raise awareness of dementias and their caregiving experience. Recently, with the announcement that actor Bruce Willis is living with frontotemporal degeneration, his wife, Emma Heming Willis, has been very public with her experience. Sharing these stories so openly and publicly takes such strength and vulnerability, but the result of sharing these stories is normalizing what can feel like a very isolating experience.
And it is so empowering and such a gift when people like Emma and Jacqueline share their personal stories on social media. And it provides this avenue for caregivers who are feeling alone and challenged by so many aspects of dementia to find community and support. And our guest, Jacqueline, was a young caregiver for both her mother and her grandmother. And she has been featured on NPR and in the LA Times. She has over 900,000 followers across all social media platforms with over 23 million likes on TikTok alone, sharing her story in an inspirational, compassionate, an insightful way that draws others in and helps them to know that they are not alone. And Jacqueline has shared that she shares the ins and outs of living a full life while being a caregiver. And we are so very grateful to have Jacqueline with us today.
Welcome, Jacqueline. Thank you so much for joining our conversation today.
Thank you for having me here.
Before we learn a little bit more of your experience as a caregiver influencer, I would love to learn a little bit more about your background. Can you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
Sure. So I like to start out saying that I stutter so that people know, but my stutter journey is a part of how I started sharing also. I had started my first YouTube channel sort of looking for people that stutter also. And so I would like make videos talking about what it's like being someone who stutters. And starting that sort of let me know that no matter how niche you can find people that relate to you also. But long story short, in 2016. I was in my late 20s and I was living in New York City, and I'm from LA, and my grandmother and my mom lived in the same house. And I was on the subway one night, and my mom's friend called and she said, "You need to fly home. Something is wrong with your mom." About 4 days later, I flew home, and I came home to a house that was not nearly as like kept as my mom would keep it, but there were also notices of foreclosure because the mortgage hadn't been paid for 2 months. And that was when I knew something was wrong. My grandmother had been diagnosed with dementia in about 2014, and my mom had been taking care of her. And then my mom had started showing signs also. And so that's sort of how it all started.
And you mentioned your background with creating content really started with sharing your experience having a stutter. I'm curious, why did you choose to share this part of your journey and your mom's experience and your grandmother's experience, both so vulnerably and so publicly?
Yeah, I'm an artist at heart. So if I'm not making videos, I'm sewing a sweater, or I'm painting, or I'm making wall art. And so making something is just very natural to me. I actually started sharing on YouTube what it was like taking care of my mom the same year that I started caring for them. But that content wasn't, that content was also like filled with like sorrow and hurt, and like it was me still processing what this all meant. And so I had taken some time from making care content. So there's so much to the story. Okay, so I'm also a writer. And when I lived in New York City, my goal was to write for TV. And so once I like noticed that me making content about care wasn't helping, and it wasn't helping me, I sort of put my time to writing. And that helped me figure out how to tell a story and what makes a story important. And so when 2020 came, my care for my mom became 24/7, and making videos and sort of sharing our story and how I cared for my mom while we were home was sort of how it helped me cope with the situation that we were all in. And that's when we sort of like hit. And by the time 2020 came, I had been taking care of my mom for about 4 years. And so the, you know, phases of like mourning and anger and hurt and pain, I had been through that. And I was just sort of at the place where I was trying to make the best situation out of what we had. And that's when we sort of popped.
And I am so glad that you did. And I'm so glad that you shared. Thank you
Thank you for sharing your amazing gifts of being, like you said, an artist at heart and a writer. And you mentioned that at one point you found yourself caring for your mom and that it became a 24/7 responsibility. And could you tell us a little bit about how, in the midst of that caregiver stress, how did you have time to do this?
Well, those 4 years prior to, you know, us blowing up on social media were filled with therapy and me coming to terms with the situation, what it meant, and learning how to continue to thrive and choose myself while choosing her also. And so I didn't have everything figured out, but the years leading up to it gave me time to like mentally learn who I am and what steps I want to take and how I want to tell the story and, you know, building the blocks to what made life successful while caring for my mom. So therapy helped me out a lot.
Jacqueline, you mentioned you received that call when you were 29 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how do you think your age influenced your experience as a millennial caregiver?
At the root of everything, I just wanted to have fun. That was a choice that I had made before even leaving New York City. And what made that successful was that all my mom wanted was to hang out with me. And so if all I wanted was to have fun and all she wanted was to be with me, we sort of like mixed the two. I think that some naivete was at hand also. I don't know if I would approach it as carefree as I did back then now, just because I know so much more now about our healthcare system and, you know, what life can be like if you don't make money and how expensive things are. Like, those were worries of mine, but they weren't over consuming. And I think, you know, not having seen my peers care for parents or like them be so stressed out about it or like them worry 24/7 about it helped me approach it in a way where I wasn't completely downtrodden. Not saying that it was easy because it wasn't, but I think that, you know, me not being at that stage where I had the stories of other people to go off of let me write my own story.
And thank you for sharing that aspect of your story with us of how your age influenced your experience. You mentioned that you went to therapy and therapy helped you out a lot. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I ended up going to therapy at a time where I was burnt out. You know, anyone who cares for someone with dementia knows that it can be a 24/7, you know, job. You're constantly stopping someone from inadvertently hurting themselves, but they're tall and they're strong and it can consume you 24/7. And at that time, I didn't have the support that I needed. And I think when you don't have the support that you need and you're consumed with caring for someone else, you I had started to devalue myself and my worth, and everything became about someone else. And I don't think that that should happen. And so going to therapy helped me learn how to choose myself within the constraints of making sure that I chose my mama also. And that looks like using whatever resources that we had to make sure that I had support. And so not feeling scared to ask for help and knowing what sort of help to tell people you need when they ask, and knowing how to advocate, and knowing how to, you know, prioritize my needs also.
I think there's such powerful lessons that in the way you articulate your story and what you've taken, the lessons that you've taken from it. I remember in one of your videos, you talked about it taking about a year to come to terms with how your life had changed in this caregiving role that you find yourself in. Was there a turning point? Was there like a moment that changed that perspective for you, or was that therapy? How did you empower yourself?
Yeah, so that turning point came many times. Because I was a fairly spiritual person prior to taking care of my mom, I had some of that to like lean on also. And there just came a point where I was like, okay, I'm sick and tired of being sad all the time. And I know that there's another way that I could be. And, you know, there just comes a point where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's like, as soon as I make the mental shift, that's when my situation would shift also. Whether, you know, it being me making the mental shift to choose joy, then the entire situation would shift. And then I would have to, you know, scramble and figure it out all over again. And that happened when my grandmother had passed, and that shift happened when 2020 had started, because my mom's day center had stopped. And so my care for her became 24/7. I had to figure out how to shift and make that work. And that's how mom of my mom started. And now that my mom's not here, like, it's taken about 1 year to sort of like mourn in it and just kind of lay in it and figure out who I am again. And the shift has sort of like started where I'm like, okay, like, what's next? Who am I outside of this whole, you know, these past 6 years? But not who am I outside of it, but like, who am I now that these last 6 years have happened, and how will it inform me moving forward?
What you've shared is so powerful, and where you've been and where you are today, you can see where you've gained so much strength. And I was thinking about, in the midst of your mourning, how you started Mom of My Mom, and how you gave so much to others through that. What did it give to you in return?
Yeah, so much, more than one thing. I think at a time where I felt not successful, and, you know, I was watching my peers either start families or get married or excel in their work, it gave me something to feel successful about. I think on top of that, it gave me a community of people to lean on who had been through some of the same stuff. It allowed me to spoil my mom in a way that I never thought I could. And having been raised as an only child with a mom who like dedicated her life to raising me, having so many people love her and want to send her stuff and want to make sure that she has everything that she needed really like helped me fulfill and like and show her how much I appreciate the sacrifices that she made for me. On top of that, it helped me give my mourning purpose. It's so painful watching someone that you love slowly lose pieces of themselves. And sometimes you just watch it happen and you wonder, like, why am I going through such heartache? Why is there so much pain here? And not knowing when it will stop. But being able to turn that heartache into something that helps other people gave it purpose and meaning. And I'm so proud to have taken something that could have, you know, really just beat me up and made it something that has helped not just me, but my mom and many others also.
We mentioned when we were introducing you that on Instagram, hashtag dementia has over 1 million posts. TikTok has really significant numbers as well. What do you think this says about dementia-related content and the power of these platforms?
That this is a conversation that needs to be had. I think that there are more people going through this than we know. You know, there's so much fear with sharing and talking about it that many people just tend to hide. And isolation is so unhealthy. You know, we're humans, we're social. And so, you know, when people get diagnosed, they tend to hide away because we don't have social supports in place. And when those diagnosed hide away, that means the caregiver, you know, tends to hide also. And so it's creating a community and a shared language that we all can have. I've since my mom passed last year, I've traveled some and I've notice that I can spark up conversations no matter where I am, what country, people know dementia. And it's something that is, it's a conversation that's necessary and it's worldwide. And we just need to, I think, dive deeper in it.
The word community has been shared so many times today, and let's do dive in it just a little bit more. What is your biggest piece of advice for another caregiver, particularly another young caregiver?
Yeah, my advice would be, there's so many. There's so many. Find support. But I think in order to even get to a place where you're willing to look for support, you have to identify your role. And I think identifying as a caregiver is really important. And it's important because once you, you know, choose this identity, you're more willing to find resources that can help. You're more willing to find other people like you that that you can bounce ideas off of and feel validated by. You, once you accept it and like don't fight it, it makes the road so much easier. And so choosing to step into that role while also choosing to nurture whatever passions you have and continue to explore yourself is really important. And so it's like a balancing scale and just figuring out how to transition into this new role while still maintaining a sense of self.
This has been such an important conversation and such an enlightening conversation. Before we close today, could you give us your final thought when it comes to your journey as a caregiver and a content creator?
I think this journey was needed. It has changed me overall. I think caring for someone with dementia specifically has the power to change the way you see life overall. And I think if we allow ourselves to submit to the role, it can change us for the better. And it's very much so a conscious choice. And if we make it, we can leave with some of the best characteristics in human nature. And so accept it, but also fight the powers that make it hard. Fight for the social services that we need. Fight to have a voice. Fight to advocate for yourself and the person that you're caring for. Whatever hardships that come, use that anchor to make sure that the next person in your shoes won't have it so hard.
I have the feeling after today's conversation, our listeners are going to want to connect with you and learn more. How can they find you?
Oh, so you guys can find me at momofmymom.com and also momofmymom on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, every social platform you can find us. We have free resources on our website, and I love like reading messages and hearing stories, and I try to reply as much as I can.
Today, our conversation has been with Jacqueline Revere, a caregiver influencer and creator of Mom of My Mom. Jacqueline, we are so grateful for your time today and your story and sharing all the lessons that you have learned. We appreciate you helping us untangle your caregiving journey and journey to content creation.
Thank you for having me. This was such a lovely conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Jacqueline. You made it lovely, and we so appreciate you sharing your story and your powerful insights. And thank you for choosing joy. Thank you for choosing to do this deeply meaningful work that has impacted so many people's lives. We can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you, Heather, for another great conversation. And thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers,
and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at bannerhealth.com/Alzheimer's and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.